The Dothraki called them bloodflies. They lived in marshes and stagnant pools, sucked blood for man and horse alike, and laid their eggs in the dead and dying. Drogo hated them. Whenever one came near him, his hand would shoot out quick as a striking snake to close around it. She had never seen him miss. He would hold the fly inside his huge fist long enough to hear its frantic buzzing. Then his fingers would tighten, and when he opened his hand again, the fly would be only a red smear on his palm. Now one crept across the rump of his stallion, and the horse gave an angry flick of its tail to brush it away. The others flitted about Drogo, closer and closer. The carl did not react. His eyes were fixed on distant brown hills, the reins loose in his hands. Beneath his painted vest, a plaster of fig leaves and cake blue mud covered the wound on his breast. The herb woman had made it for him. Miri Mazdur's poultice had itched and burned, and he had torn it off 6 days ago, cursing her for a meji. The mud plaster was more soothing, and the herb woman made him poppy wine as well. He'd been drinking it heavily these past 3 days. When it was not poppy wine, it was fermented mare's milk, or pepper beer. Yet he scarcely touched his food, and he thrashed and groaned in the night. Danny could see how drawn his face had become. Rago was restless in her belly, kicking like a stallion. Yet even that did not stir Drogo's interest as it had. Every morning her eyes found fresh lines of pain on his face when he woke from his troubled sleep. And now, this silence, it was making her afraid. Since they had mounted up at dawn, he had not said a word. When she spoke, she got no answer but a grunt, and not even that much since midday. One of the blood flies landed on the bare skin of the carl's shoulder. Another, circling, touched down on his neck and crept up towards his mouth. Khal Drogo swayed in the saddle, bells ringing, as his stallion kept onward at a steady walking pace. Danny pressed her heels into her silver and rode closer. "My lord," she said softly, "Drogo, my sun and stars." He did not seem to hear. The blood fly crawled up under his drooping moustache and settled on his cheek in the crease beside his nose. Danny gasped, "Drogo!" Clumsily she reached over and touched his arm. Khal Drogo reeled in the saddle, tilted slowly, and fell heavily from his horse. The flies scattered for a heartbeat, and then circled back to settle on him where he lay. "No!" Danny said, reining up. Heedless of her belly for once, she scrambled off her silver and ran to him. The grass beneath him was brown and dry. Drogo cried out in pain as Danny knelt beside him. His breath rattled harshly in his throat, and he looked at her without recognition.
"My horse!"
he gasped. Danny brushed the flies off his chest, smashing one, as he would have. His skin burned beneath her fingers. The car's blood riders had been following just behind them. She heard Hago shout as they galloped up. Kahalo vaulted from his horse.
"Blood of my blood," he said as they dropped to his knees.
The other two kept to their mounts.
"No,"
Khal Drogo groaned, struggling in Danny's arms.
"Must ride, ride, no."
"He fell from his horse," Hago said, staring down. His broad face was impassive, but his voice was leaden. "You must not say that," Danny told him. "We have ridden far enough today. We will camp here."
"Here?"
Hago looked around him. The land was brown and sere, inhospitable.
"Is there no camping ground?"
"It is not for a woman to bid us halt," said Kotho. "Not even a Khaleesi."
"We camp here," Danny repeated. "Hago, tell them Khal Drogo, commander of the halt. If any ask why, say to them that my time is near and I could not continue." Kahalo, bring up the slaves. They must put up the Carl's tent at once. Kotho, you do not command me, Khaleesi, Kotho said. Find Miramar's Dua, she told him. The guard's wife would be walking among the other Lam men in the long column of slaves. Bring her to me, with her chest. Kotho glared down at her, his eyes hard as flint. The Magi? He spat. This I will not do. You will, Danny said, or when Drogo wakes, he will hear why you defied me. Furious, Kotho wheeled his stallion around and galloped off in anger. But Danny knew he would return with Miramar's door, however little he might like it. The slaves erected Khal Drogo's tent beneath a jagged outcrop of black rock, whose shadow gave some relief from the heat of the afternoon sun. Even so, it was stifling under the sand silk, as Iri and Doria helped Danny walk Drogo inside. Thick patterned carpets had been laid down over the ground, and pillows scattered in the corners. Iroa, the timid girl Danny had rescued outside the mud walls of the Lam men, set up a brazier. They stretched Drogo out on a woven mat.
No, he murmured in the common tongue. No, no.
It was all he said, all he seemed capable of saying. Doria unhooked his medallion belt and stripped off his vest and leggings, while Xiqui knelt by his feet to undo the laces of his riding sandals. Iri wanted to leave the tent flaps open to let in the breeze, but Danny forbade it. She would not have any see Drogo this way, in delirium and weakness. When her cars came up, she posted them outside at guard. Admit no one without my leave, she told Drogo. No one. Iroa stared fearfully at Drogo where he lay.
He dies, she whispered.
Danny slapped her. The Carl cannot die. He is the father of the stallion who mounts the world. His hair has never been cut. He still wears the bells his father gave him. Khaleesi, Xiqui said. He fell from his horse. Trembling, her eyes full of sudden tears, Danny turned away from them. He fell from his horse. It was so, she had seen it. And the blood riders, and no doubt her handmaids, and the men of her cars as well, and how many more. They could not keep it secret. And Danny knew what that meant. A Carl who could not ride, could not rule. And Drogo had fallen from his horse. We must bathe him, she said stubbornly. She must not allow herself to despair. Iri had the tub brought at once. Doria, Iroa, find water, cool water. He's so hot. He was a fire in human skin. The slaves set up the heavy copper tub in the corner of the tent. When Doria brought the first jar of water, Danny wet a length of silk to lay across Drogo's brow over the burning skin. His eyes looked at her, but he did not see. When his lips opened, no words escaped them, only a moan. Where is Miramar's door? She demanded, her patience rubbed raw with fear.
Kotho will find her, Iri said.
Her handmaidens filled the tub with tepid water that stank of sulphur, sweetened it with jars of bitter oil and handfuls of crushed mint leaves. While the bath was being prepared, Danny knelt awkwardly beside her lord husband. Her belly great with their child within. She undid his braid with anxious fingers, as she had on the night he'd taken her for the first time, beneath the stars. His bells she laid aside carefully, one by one. He would want them again, when he was well, she told herself. A breath of air entered the tent as Ego poked his head through the silk. Khaleesi said, the Andal has come and begs leave to enter. The Andal was what the Dothraki called Ser Jorah. Yes, she said, rising clumsily. Send him in. She trusted the knight. He would know what to do if anyone did. Ser Jorah Mormont ducked through the door flap and waited a moment for his eyes to adjust to the dimness. In the fierce heat of the south, he wore loose trousers of mottled sand silk and open-toed riding sandals that laced up to his knees. His scabbard hung from a twisted horsehair belt. Under a bleach-white vest, he was bare-chested, skin reddened by the sun.
"Talk goes from mouth to ear all over the Kalasar," he said. "It is said Khal Drogo fell from his horse."
"Help him," Danny pleaded. "For the love you say you bear me, help him now." The knight knelt beside her. He looked at Drogo, long and hard, and then at Danny.
"Send your maids away."
Wordlessly, her throat tight with fear, Danny made a gesture, ere he heard at the other girls from the tent. When they were alone, Ser Jorah drew his dagger. Deftly, with a delicacy surprising in such a big man, he began to scrape away the black leaves and dried blue mud from Drogo's chest. The plaster had caked, hard as the mud walls of the Lamb Men, and like those walls, it cracked easily. Ser Jorah broke the dry mud with his knife, pried the chunks from the flesh, peeling off the leaves one by one. A foul, sweet smell rose from the wound, so thick it almost choked her. The leaves were crusted with blood and pus, Drogo's breast black and glistening with corruption.
"No," Danny whispered as tears ran down her cheeks. "No, please. Gods, hear me. No."
Khal Drogo thrashed, fighting some unseen enemy. Black blood ran slowly and thick from his open wound.
"Your Khal is as good as dead, Princess."
"No, he can't die. He mustn't. It was only a cut."
Danny took his large, calloused hand in her own small ones and held it tight between them.
"I will not let him die."
Ser Jorah gave a bitter laugh.
"Khaleesi, or Queen, that command is beyond your power. Save your tears, child. Weep for him tomorrow or a year from now. We do not have time for grief. We must go, and quickly, before he dies."
Danny was lost.
"Go? Where should we go?"
"Eshai, I would say. It lies far to the south, at the end of the known world, yet men say it is a great port. We will find a ship to take us back to Pentos. It will be a hard journey, make no mistake. Do you trust your cars? Will they come with us?"
"Khal Drogo commanded them to keep me safe," Danny replied uncertainly. "But if he dies..." She touched the swell of her belly.
"I don't understand. Why should we flee? I am Khaleesi. I carry Drogo's heir. He would be Khal after Drogo..."
Ser Jorah frowned. "Princess, hear me. The Dothraki will not follow a suckling babe. Drogo's strength was what they bowed to, and only that. When he is gone, Jaco and Pono and the other Khos will fight for his place, and this Kalasar will devour itself. The winner will want no more rivals. The boy will be taken from your breast the moment he is born. They will give him to the dogs."
Danny hugged herself.
"But why?" she cried plaintively. "Why should they kill a little baby? He is Drogo's son, and the crones say he will be the stallion who mounts the world. It was prophesied. Better to kill the child than to risk his fury when he grows to manhood."
The child kicked inside her, as if he had heard. Danny remembered the story Viserys had told her of what the usurper's dogs had done to Rhaegar's children. His son had been a babe as well, yet they had ripped him from his mother's breast and dashed his head against a wall. That was the way of men. "They must not hurt my son," she cried. "I will order my cars to keep him safe, and Drogo's blood riders will..." Ser Jorah held her by the shoulders.
"A blood rider dies with his Khal. You know that, child. They will take you to Rhaes Dothrak, to the crones. That is the last duty they owe him in life. When that is done, they will join Drogo in the Nightlands."
Danny did not want to go back to Rhaes Dothrak and live the rest of her life among those terrible old women. Yet she knew that the knight spoke the truth. Drogo had been more than her sun and stars. He had been the shield that kept her safe. "I will not leave him," she said stubbornly, miserably. She took his hand again. I will not. A stirring at the tent flap made Danny turn her head. Miramar's Dua entered, bowing low. Days on the march, trailing behind the Khalasar, had left her limping and haggard, with blistered and bleeding feet and hollows under her eyes. Behind her came Kotho and Hagar, carrying the god's wife's chest between them. When the blood riders caught sight of Drogo's wound, the chest slipped from Hagar's fingers and crashed to the floor of the tent, and Kotho swore an oath so foul it seared the air. Miramar's Dua studied Drogo, her face still and dead.
The wound has festered.
This is your work, Meji, Kotho said. Hagar laid his fist across Miri's cheek with a meaty smack that drove her to the ground. Then he kicked her where she lay. Stop it! Danny screamed. Kotho pulled Hagar away, saying, Kicks are too merciful for a Meji. Take her outside. We will stake her to the earth to be the mount of every passing man. And when they are done with her, the dogs will use her as well. Weasels will tear out her entrails, and carrion crows feast upon her eyes. The flies off the river shall lay their eggs in her womb and drink pus from the ruins of her breasts. He dug iron-hard fingers into the soft, wobbly flesh under the god's wife's arm and hauled her to her feet. No, Danny said. I will not have her harmed. Kotho's lips skinned back from his crooked brown teeth in a terrible mockery of a smile. No? You say me no? Better you should pray that we do not stake you outside beside your Meji. You did this as much as the other. Sir Jorah stepped between them, loosening his long sword in his scabbard. Rein in your tongue, blood rider. The princess is still your Khaleesi. Only while the blood of my blood still lives, Kotho told the knight. When he dies, she is nothing. Danny felt a tightness inside her. Before I was Khaleesi, I was the blood of the dragon. Sir Jorah, summon my cars. No, said Kotho. We will go. For now, Khaleesi. Hagar followed him from the tent, scowling. That one means you no good, princess, Mormont said. The Dothraki say a man and his blood riders share one life, and Kotho sees it ending. A dead man is beyond fear. No one has died, Danny said. Sir Jorah, I may have need of your blade. Best go don your armor. She was more frightened than she dared admit, even to herself. The knight bowed. As you say, he strode from the tent. Danny turned back to Miramar's Dua. The woman's eyes were wary.
So, he has saved me once more.
And now you must save him, Danny said. Please.
You do not ask a slave, Miri replied sharply. You tell her.
She went to Drogo, burning on his mat, and gazed long at his wound.
Ask or tell, it makes no matter. He is beyond a healer's skills.
The cow's eyes were closed. She opened one with her fingers.
He has been dulling the hurt with milk of the puppy.
Yes, Danny admitted.
I made him a poultice of fire pod and stingminut and bound it in a lambskin.
It burned, he said. He tore it off. The herb women made him a new one, wet and soothing.
It burned, yes. There is great healing magic in fire. Even your hairless men know that.
Make him another poultice, Danny begged. This time I will make certain he wears it.
The time for that is past, my lady,
Miri said.
All I can do now is ease the dark road before him, so that he might ride painless to the Nightlands. He will be gone by morning.
Her words were a knife through Danny's breast. What has she ever done to make the gods so cruel? She had finally found a safe place, had finally tasted love and hope. She was finally going home. And now, to lose it all? No, she pleaded, save him, and I will free you, I swear it. You must know a way, some magic, some... Miramaz Dur sat back on her heels and studied Daenerys through eyes as black as night.
There is a spell.
Her voice was quiet, scarcely more than a whisper.
But it is hard, lady, and dark. Some would say that death is cleaner. I learned the way in Ashai, and paid dear for the lesson. My teacher was a bloodmarsh from the Shadowlands.
Danny went cold all over. Then you truly are a mage?
Am I?
Miramaz Dur smiled.
Only a mage can save your rider now, Silver Lady.
Is there no other way?
No other.
Khal Drogo gave a shuddering gasp. Do it, Danny blurted. She must not be afraid. She was the blood of the dragon. Save him.
There is a price,
the god's wife warned her. You'll have gold, horses, whatever you like.
It is not a matter of gold or horses. This is blood magic, lady. Only death may pay for life.
Death? Danny wrapped her arms around herself protectively, rocking back and forth on her heels. My death? She told herself she would die for him, if she must. She was the blood of the dragon. She would not be afraid. Her brother Rhaegar had died for the woman he loved.
No,
Miramaz Dur promised.
Not your death, Khaleesi.
Danny trembled with relief. Do it. The Maesha nodded solemnly.
As you speak, so it shall be done. Call your servants.
Khal Drogo writhed feebly as Rakaro and Quaro lowered him into the bath.
No,
he muttered.
No, must hide.
Once in the water, all the strength seemed to leak out of him.
Bring his horse,
Miramaz Dur commanded, and so it was done. Jogo led the great red stallion into the tent. When the animal caught the scent of death, he screamed and reared, rolling his eyes. It took three men to subdue him. What do you mean to do? Danny asked her.
We need the blood,
Mira answered.
That is the way.
Jogo edged back, his hand on his arrack. He was a youth of 16 years, whip-thin, fearless, quick to laugh, with a faint shadow of his first moustache on his upper lip. He fell to his knees before her. Khaleesi, he pleaded, you must not do this thing. Let me kill this Maesha. Kill her, and you kill your Khal, Danny said. This is blood magic, he said. It is forbidden. I am Khaleesi, and I say it is not forbidden. In Vaes Dothrak, Khal Drogo slew a stallion, and I ate his heart, to give our son strength and courage. This is the same. The same. The stallion kicked and reared as Rakaro, Quaro, and Ego pulled him close to the tub, where the Khal floated like one already dead, pus and blood seeping from his wound to stain the bath waters. Miramaz Dur chanted words in a tongue that Danny did not know, and a knife appeared in her hand. Danny never saw where it came from. It looked old, hammered red bronze, leaf-shaped, its blade covered with ancient glyphs. The Maesha drew it across the stallion's throat, under the noble head, and the horse screamed and shuddered as the blood poured out of him in a red rush. He would have collapsed, but the men of Hakaz held him up.
Strength of the mount go into the rider,
Mira sang, as horse blood swirled into the waters of Drogo's bath.
Strength of the beast go into the man.
Jago looked terrified as he struggled with the stallion's weight, afraid to touch the dead flesh, yet afraid to let go as well. Only a horse, Danny thought. If she could buy Drogo's life for the death of a horse, she would pay 1,000 times over. When they let the stallion fall, the bath was a dark red, and nothing showed of Drogo but his face. Miramaz Dur had no use for the carcass. Burn it, Danny told them. It was what they did, she knew. When a man died, his mount was killed and placed beneath him on the funeral pyre to carry him to the Nightlands.